Yo, this is Nick D.
I'm Brie K, and this is Kasari.
You already know what it is, man. It's William Cater.
Yo, this is DJ Lost and Found from the Missing Link Podcast.
Hey, what up? It's Miss Hero from Pew Army.
This is Stephen the Levite.
Yo, what's good, Josh? Your boy YP, aka Young Paul. You know what I mean? Representing the East Coast, New York, Jersey, stand up.
And you're tuned into the That's Not
Christian Podcast.
Let's go. Why are you muted? Yo, not you're Christian muted. Podcast.
Am I?
You I'm muted not. Yourself. Go ahead. My bad.
Nah. Well, anyway, this is episode 214 of the That's Not Christian Podcast. You're joined here by me, Jay. I got Jimmy. And I got a very special guest, which I actually have an intro for.
You got an intro?
I got an intro. Okay. Yeah.
I love it.
Today's guest is Justin Sarachek. I hope I said that right. I think I remember from last time. Close enough. He's a multifaceted individual known for his contributions to various creative realms, whether it's in the realm of music, writing, and other forms of expression. Justin's diverse talents make him a noteworthy figure in the contemporary creative landscape. And he joins us today on the NASDAQ Christian Podcast. Give it up, give it up, give it up.
Let's go. Woo! We don't have it in the budget for applause or anything like
hey.
That.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the intro. You were muted, by the way.
Yeah,
you see. I'm with you, Jay. That's weird. You were muted. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. But okay. Thank you for having me.
It could be that I'm on a delay too. So, but anyway.
No.
In case the language gets out of hand on here.
You were muted. That's for sure. You were muted.
All right. If I was muted, I was muted. Anyway,
he said you put
welcome
yourself
everybody.
On mute.
No, I didn't put myself on mute.
That's all right.
Welcome everybody. Shout out to LNF. Yeah. Shout out to Lit Fam. This is episode
Lit Fam. Happy belated birthday. We haven't seen you in like 2-3 weeks. I think it's been. So
she's been partying hard. All right, 2 weeks. She's been absent from the comments.
Yeah.
That's a crazy birthday hangover.
It is. But yeah, what's up, Justin? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It's been a while.
I know. It is.
But I'm happy to be with the premier Latino podcast in the let's Christian
go.
Space.
Let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
Right?
We are the only one too.
That makes you the premier. That makes it the premiere.
All right, so next episode we're doing it in all Spanish.
I can do it in all Spanish. I don't think everybody else can though.
I cannot. I'll champion it. I'll applaud and maybe I'll send it to my mom and she could let me know what's happening. But that's about it.
We could do Spanglish too. That's what we could do.
Yeah,
right? We could do Spanglish.
Word.
Yo, so I'm looking right now and you haven't been here. Wow, it was 2 years ago that you were on the show. That's crazy.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say it was just last year. Whatever. I can't believe it was 2 years ago.
I think I spoke to you guys after that, just like a private call type of deal for something. But yeah, as far as being on the podcast, it's been a while.
Wow.
The son that I was talking about before we got on, where I lost my office to, he was only 2 years old then, so he was still a baby.
Wow.
Now he's running around.
Yeah.
Running around taking offices.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He's asleep now, so we're good.
Okay. Man, early. Nice.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling well, so we'll see what happens.
The weather is cold out there, right? You guys are like 40, 50 degrees?
Yeah, it was... It's
Brick City.
It's the annoying time when it's like 32 when I'm taking my daughter to school and then like 50 when I'm picking her up. So there's just like no rhyme or reason for anything.
You know what's crazy is that here in the mornings it's 40 degrees, 50 degrees, and then during the day it's like 80.
Wow, what a life.
Wow, look at you.
Like, how is that possible that the temperature just drops in half and then just doubles? Like that,
I feel so bad for you, man.
That should be illegal. Like,
look at him. He's wearing a beanie. It's probably 80 degrees outside.
Nah, it's like it's cool in here, you know. I haven't been outside, to be honest with
he's
you.
Got his house too cold. That's why he's
right. The AC's working overdrive right now. He's working overdrive. That's funny. Nah, it's in the 60s, so it's not too cold. It's not too hot. Mm.
Good for you. Good for you.
So how was y'all weekend, man? What y'all do this weekend, man?
Nothing. Stay home.
Is that what you did?
Yeah. I had a nothing weekend too. The prior weekend, I had family parties back to back days. So yeah, it wasn't really a weekend. This weekend there was nothing. I had to do nothing and it was fantastic.
It's awesome, right?
I agree.
It's the best feeling. What do you have to do today? Nothing. Just leave me alone. Exactly.
That's the life. That's the life. LNF says shout out to Justin.
Shout out back at you.
He says, escape from New York before it's too late.
He did.
We're trying, LNF. We're trying. LifM says New York and Toronto are basically the same temp wise. Today was a pretty was pretty nice. All right. Move to Toronto. No, thank you.
Get even colder.
Does it get colder over there?
Yeah, it's higher up.
I know it's higher, but I don't know if it's colder. I've never been.
Bro, it's like Buffalo, bro.
Say less.
That AI is under Justin, snow right now, probably.
6 feet, yeah. Right?
Yeah, my wife went to college in Buffalo. I visited once, and it's basically Canada. It's 6 hours away. It's 7 hours away. Straight up. So.
Yep.
You're in Canada.
Basically, your phone sometimes even connects to Canadian carriers. That's how close you are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Got that interference.
It is. But anyway, something wild that I actually have found, and I tweeted it out. NF, the rapper, the Christian rapper, depending who you ask.
The rapper who's Christian.
Yeah, or the rapper who's Christian, right.
I like that better. I like that better.
Happened to hit 10 billion. That's right, folks. Billion with a B.
That's what I hear.
Streams.
Did somebody fact check your tweet?
I mean, it's from a great source, which is whatever the source was in that figure.
I hope it was the right source because I wrote an article about it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I trusted you to be the source. It sounds about right.
Yeah, so you recently shared that NF has over 10 billion streams on Spotify alone that equates to over $23 million. He went on to say, I'd imagine he doesn't own 100% of the royalties, but if he owned 30%, maybe. Here's a number side by side. And you go on to show through the calculator here what that would look like. And that is crazy, crazy, crazy numbers.
I'm not going to lie. I tried so many times. Like, I counted all the zeros so many times just because a billion is like such a big number. And I'm going like hundred thousand. I did it maybe five times. I was like, I think this is a billion. I think I got it.
That's crazy. That is really crazy.
It is wild. So the craziest part about that is that's just Spotify.
Right.
That's right. Not Apple. That's not Pandora, Amazon, YouTube, merch sales, concerts. You're talking about perhaps $100 million made off of NF by Capitol Records.
Oh, that's
wild.
Yeah.
They're doing lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, no, for sure they're doing lovely.
How much of that does he make? I have no idea, but I'm sure he makes a nice chunk of $100 million. Even if it's like 10% or 5%, whatever. He's still doing well for himself.
That's crazy, bro.
If you think about it, lawyers, management, obviously the record label,
producers,
marketing, artwork, set design. What else is there?
Tithe.
The janitor.
Tithing.
He forgot tithe, bro. You forgot tithe.
His wardrobe is easy because that's just like
black extra yeah
double XL shirt from like Target or something, and like that's it. But yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people I'm sure have their hands in the pockets of that money, but it's still a substantial amount of money for somebody to come out of the Christian music space.
It is.
It's an absurd amount of money.
Yeah, that's wild. Do you think Lecrae puts up those numbers?
No. No. I mean, it's,
he said no with quickness.
No, it's not even close.
I mean, $100 million is a lot of money.
No. That's no disrespect to Lecrae at all, but like his numbers aren't even close. So that's what makes it like so insane, because NF has like 10-ish, 8-ish, 9-ish years of work. And what does he have? Maybe around 75 to 100 songs, while Lecrae has probably over 200 and something songs, and he's been around since 2004. And the numbers aren't even close. So yeah. And then but the crazy thing about that, because you're talking about Christian music, is like Lecrae is the top of the CHH chain, and then like NF is like up there. But if it's like Jay-Z or Kanye, it's like 10 spaces way more even above NF, or 20 spaces even above NF. So it's all relative to what you think is a large scale.
That's true. LitFam says Lecrae's audience isn't as wide. Yes. I thought about that after I mentioned that. Because, you know, when you think Christian music, you think, you know, Lecrae's, and that's about it, because he's a GOAT.
Because he's a GOAT,
but
you
said? Yeah, because he's a GOAT.
He's a GOAT.
He's the GOAT. But then, you know, to hear NF, that's mind-boggling. Crazy.
I mean, who can't be the GOAT?
And then also, also NF, you know, has gotten a lot of way more radio play than I think Lecrae has had.
Yo, so one thing, like I've never heard NF on
the radio
in Los Angeles. I've heard Lecrae on the radio in Los Angeles a couple of times. So that's just crazy to me, you know. That you say that, you know what was crazier though is that I found this chart of artists who have a billion streams. So NF is, his name is like alongside names of like Ed Sheeran, Post Malone, The Weeknd, X, Ariana Grande. Like I don't see Lecrae here, bro. I think you're gonna have to change who the GOAT is in CHH, man.
Yeah, but the thing is that NF is not one to say, yeah, I'm the Christian rapper, you know.
And NF, NF isn't CHH. He wouldn't consider himself. Most people, I don't think, would consider him. He came from it.
Yeah. He you made a post, or somebody made a post, right, Rapzilla, and the comments is like, well, this dude is not even a Christian, you know, Christian rapper or CHH. So the debates go wild in those comments, so. You know,
yeah, all you have to do is post NF or Lecrae and no commentary, no nothing. You just drop their names there and then watch people lose their mind. It's like there's nothing to promote. It's just here's just a picture of one of them. Nuts. And I'm just like, yo, I'm just reporting some news. I think it's pretty cool that someone that came, whether he is there or not there, considers himself this or that. The person was in our space at one point in time.
Right.
And this is the numbers. These are the numbers that he's doing.
Wow. Incredible.
That's all I was trying to tell people. They're like, oh, how dare you make, I'm not making a commentary. I'm just telling you what I saw. He put up these crazy numbers.
Bro, I'm just saying.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ant.
What's up, Ant?
Man, welcome.
What up, Justin? Yeah.
I heard another voice and I didn't see you, and I'm like, I think he's here.
Yo, Ann, what you think, bro?
What?
I know you're a billion streams.
Nice.
What I think about?
Have you heard NF on the radio? Have you heard NF on the radio?
No. I haven't heard NF.
What?
NF. No, I haven't. I have never heard NF on the radio out here.
No. Man, that's but pretty crazy.
Ant listens to inspirational music, not depressing music. So he listens to like worship and stuff like that. So I don't think he would hear it on the station.
Wait, all his music is depressing?
No, it's not.
No?
See, no, I
never heard NF or Lecrae on Hot 97, on 105. But I think I've heard NF on like Z100, which is
yes.
Okay, which then, you know, yeah, it's just a top 40 pop station,
right? Yeah.
But Lecrae's not.
Yeah, that's what LNF said. LNF said that he's getting play on pop stations.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard NF in Florida, here in New York on Z100, and in Michigan. I went to Michigan, but that's his home state. So
that's his home. Yeah.
You know, they would play him crazy.
And to be fair to NF though, like he's more hip hop than a lot of what they play on Hot 97 anyway.
Ouch. Ouch.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
He's like, you know, when they call it rap music because somebody's rapping.
Right.
Like NF is actually rapping.
Ooh,
rap. Wow.
We're gonna clip that.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Rapper.
He's a rapper's rapper.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're kind of backwards in music now. We're like, rock music is a pop band with people who play instruments. Rap music is like punk rock for whatever reason. And it's just everything's kind of backwards. Like rap is Post Malone. Post Malone doesn't even rap. Post Malone said he doesn't even like rap, but for whatever reason he's a rapper. I don't get how this works. Machine Gun Kelly is a punk rock star now. I don't know. Music changed.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
It's that auto-tune.
Maybe.
But you're right, because you have a lot of artists who say that they're rock stars. Even in the CHA space, you have people saying, I'm not a rapper, I'm a rock star. You know, but they're still rapping, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, or even within the CHH space, there's a lot of these guys who are like singing and stuff. 15 years ago, people would have just said they're doing pop music or they're doing like electric rock music, but now it's considered rap. So I don't know who makes the rules, but that's just how it is. You have all these rappers now that they don't even rap, but they're rappers. Well, I don't know if that's controversial or a hot take. I think most people would kind of agree with that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more singing, especially when I think in the last 10 years, you know, with the
Drake
more,
effect,
a lot more auto tune. Yeah, for sure. Drake inspired a lot of these dudes.
It probably is,
but it wasn't just him though. Was that?
But Drake also raps, so I mean, that's okay.
He does,
and his production is hip hop based. Now you have rap songs on the radio that's just like acoustic guitar and a dude like singing like emo music, which I like that music. I just would never say, hey, this is, you know, a top 10 rap song right now. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's funny. Drake actually has an artist like that. He's got an artist by the name of Tizo Touchdown who's like that.
That's Drake's artist?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I've heard of him, but I ain't know.
Yes, I do. Bikes all over his. Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, the dude like sings and, you know, he's over rock beats and then he raps on some songs and, you know what I mean? That's kind of like where we're at, right?
Sounds like it. Terrible.
Terrible. Everything's just everything now. It's just music. Yeah.
So Justin, who's like your top three, like, and this isn't a final list, but your top three like rapidy rap rappers
in CHH. Rapidy rap.
Oh, in CHH.
Yeah.
If I'm going rapidy rap.
Rapidy rap.
Rapidy rap. It's got to be. I'm no particular order. You got to say like Jared Sanders.
Ooh.
I knew that was coming.
Dayton.
Ooh,
and I mean, that's one and two. AI the Anomaly. I'll put her three.
You went all GOA.
right?
I don't think anybody is if you're going rapidy rap bar for bar, GOM owns the market.
Mm. Yeah, because someone Lit Fam says Selah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Selah, but you gave me three slots.
I only gave him three. Yeah.
You just GOM.
if you take it off the rapidy rap, like more versatile, but could still hit you with bars, then you know you have KB, you have Andy Mineo, you have No Big Deal, you have John Keith could rap if he wants to, and whenever he does, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many. I mean, so many people. There's a lot of versatility. I think there's a lot more talent in CHH than there is, you know, on the radio, like we were just talking about.
Yeah. Now, did you not mention NF because I said CHH? Is he not on your list at all?
Yeah, I don't really think of him as CHH, and also I don't think he's a better
rapidy rapper. Rap.
Yeah, a better rapper than any of the artists I mentioned. Mm. Overall, as an artist, full package, creativity, you know, he's up there for sure. He can hang with anybody or even surpass anybody. But I think for the lyrical miracle, bar for bar, those people that I mentioned, I don't think many people are touching them.
Yeah, no, you gave some good names there. Yeah, people in the comments are agreeing with you. Dayton for sure.
Thank you, community. just say GOM. It's fine.
It's a Dayton for sure. Eshan Burgundy was one mentioned here.
Hey, Eshan could rap too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This yeah, no, guy. Those are good picks.
Look at your man.
That's a bar.
Rapping.
That's a bar.
That's a bar.
That might be in his diss track, NF, to somebody.
Kyle got a diss track, didn't he?
They
kind of write a diss track towards him, but he was sending
songs. Yeah. He had a whole post for him and went off. He did.
Good Don't time. Mess with Dayton. Don't mess with Dayton. But also, Dayton's a good friend because when people mess with you, he comes for those people on your behalf too.
Mm.
And that's why Dayton's a real one.
Mm. There you go.
Big brother fight your battles for you.
You know what I mean? Yo, hey, listen, anybody try to step to you, you call up Dayton. He's the bully of the block. You know what I mean?
Dayton throws those verbal hands. That's what he's got.
He got the diss track ready for y'all.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know
he's definitely up there. You know what I mean? It's when it comes to lyricism, for sure. I think I agree with all the names. I wouldn't be able to do a top three. Because it changes all the time, you know what I mean? I hear somebody's song and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. Like, I slept on the song or whatever. I missed that part, you know?
Yeah. Then you got like Propaganda or, you know, Derek Minor. Angie Rose can rap like a monster.
She can.
And she's super versatile too. Off the top, she's top five off the top in our space. I don't know. I know someone's going to watch this to say, I can't believe you didn't mention me, but there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Come on, man. You get people saying, hey, man, how come you ain't post me? I'm for sure people going to reach out. Hey, man, how come you didn't mention me, man? Check out my bars. Why are you sleeping on me?
The answer's right here. But we're going to talk about that a little later.
I just ordered mine this morning, man. I'm not going to get it till Wednesday, but I read half of it. But we'll get into that a little later.
Okay.
Yeah. Another person who was talking about Christian rap, and we talked about it in last week's episode, was Pastor Chris Durso from Brooklyn here, Christ Tab. And we mentioned how the gritty rap community, you know, one of his comments was like, yo, we're here, you know, this is us, and all this other stuff. And he decided to reply a couple of days later. He posted this 6 days ago, and he says, I recently posted my thoughts on the state of Christian rap.
I received several comments from people telling me that I need to, quote, tap in to what's already happening. Those people missed the point. I'm sure that there are great rappers doing great things. I mean that. I'm talking about the type of impact that you don't have to search for because it's unavoidable. There's a difference between asking someone to pay attention to you and demanding people's attention because of what you're doing. I understand that's a hard pill to swallow, but if you can move beyond your offense, these may be the words you need. If you're an artist creating art, you want people to appreciate your art. That's fine, but this post isn't for you. This is to hopefully light a fire in those that want to impact the world. This is for the leaders and the revolutionists. And his caption is, you don't have to advertise a fire. When something is hot, people run towards it.
Damn, so what you guys bro. Think? That sounds like a sneak diss. That sounds like he was saying, like, step your game up. Step your hustle up. It sounds like, to be honest with you, like,
it sounds like they need to read.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's what it sounded like.
What a marketing genius. you should have wrote the book. Well, I would say about Chris Durso, and before you mentioned Gritty CHH, and I know Q-Flow and Prodi and C4 and YP are going to be like, yo, you didn't mention me, bro. Yes, we know. You guys can rap. Gritty CHH can rap. But Chris Durso, he actually DM'd Rapzilla after we reposted what he said.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, great. You know, great conversation. I love this. So he wanted all the smoke. Mm-hmm. So then I said, hey, you want to talk about this? And he was like, absolutely. So we had something set up for last Friday with me, Luke DiMarzio, who is the plug at Rapzilla, got his ear to the streets.
That's cool.
Chris Durso actually made a post off of Luke calling him an old head. And then we had Scribe.
Oh, already.
Yeah. And then we had Scribe, who was going to also join the conversation. But unfortunately, Chris had to reschedule, and we haven't rescheduled yet. So I don't know if that conversation is going to happen. But I hope it does. We're going to get some good content out of that. And he wants all the smoke. He said it. He's like, I love this. So
I think that's cool, though, even though even though there was like scheduling problems or whatever, the fact that, he tapped in and everything and wants to have the conversation, I think that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He was totally open. I was like, hey, I would love to like have myself have Luke, who's a worship pastor. And then I would love to have a CHH artist on there who's going to kind of go against what you're saying. So we can listen to your position. We can listen to the rapper's position and, he could state why you're wrong or, whatever.
Right.
And then I was just going to kind of moderate the conversation between these three.
Yeah.
I would love for it to happen. I asked a couple rappers if they wanted to be on and I got no's, but Scribe was down. So Scribe's not really a mumble rapper. I asked a couple who may fall closer into that category, and they said no. Scribe, I know would be like eloquent and be able to like fully elaborate his position without being upset, and he would be able to like have a decent conversation about it. And that's what I was afraid of. Also, depending on who you ask, are they going to be able to articulate properly? This conversation, or are they just going to get mad and be like, you're wrong,
right?
Whatever,
right?
So,
that'd make great content, though.
Yeah. It would, but then it would be Rapzilla's being divisive and they're doing bad stuff, and I'd be like, okay, so yeah.
LNF actually says, lazy and ill informed response from Chris. That's kind of interesting.
I didn't say it.
I had mixed feelings about the post, the original post, and the response, because like the response was like basically like step your game up, you know what I mean? And he's like, if there's fire, you're gonna notice it, yeah, but you have to fuel the fire, man. You know what I mean? And who's helping these artists fuel the fire? You know what I mean? Is he sharing his platform for these artists so that they can get to the next level? You know what I mean? Because you can't put that kind of demand on them, understanding, you know, the CHH space. You know what I mean? Like, Lecrae is the ceiling right now. You know what I mean? Reach Records is the ceiling, you know, which is a big bar, but then it's not at the same time, right? Because then there's so much more room for growth, right? You can have more Lecrae's or whatever, you know what I mean? But for people to reach that those heights is it's slowly changing, but you know, it still needs work, you know, and there aren't a lot of people who are there to support these artists to help them reach that level, you know. We got people like Justin, you know what I mean, who are helping people. Yeah, you know I mean, it's giving him advice with his tweets and, you know, and now with his book and stuff like that. But there aren't too many people like, you know, giving advice like that. You know, usually what you hear is like, CHH is dead, and or, you know, CHH is in the industry or whatever critique you may have. But nobody's really offering solutions, you know, nobody's mm-hmm. really trying to help. And I felt like that was kind of like his response was just like basically like just hustle harder, you know, which is true. It's good advice. But
like, yeah. Is he saying like, CHH needs like this next big, like this big wave of like gritty, or I mean, like what is he, because it's there obviously, right? It's just that he's not looking, but is he looking for like where something that's just so big that it's undeniable type of deal? Because I know he was mentioning Scarlet and just that whole thing. But
I think what he wants to see is somebody that's on a level of Lecrae, right, but does a rapidy rap like the people we mentioned.
Right, right.
Which in all facets of hip hop, that's not in right now. So right. First of all, that's like impossible. Like as much of a legend as, you know, Nas is, or, you know, any of the really lyrical rappers, Black Thought or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People are checking for their albums when they drop, but they're not part of like the everyday culture vernacular of hip hop anymore. People right. think of Nas in the past. They're not looking for the necessarily like celebrating and giving him his flowers for what he's doing currently. Like the only one who's getting that sort of attention for what they do is like Kendrick or J. Cole, where they're lyrical and everyone's hailing them as art. So maybe we need the CHH Kendrick version. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure, you know, exactly what his position was, because, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't have that conversation yet.
Right.
But okay. from what he's saying, I don't know if that's possible within the CHH space right now. I'm not saying it's impossible,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's plenty of people like KB could be that person.
Yeah.
Because he can rap and he's a large artist who's covered a lot of ground everywhere. Right.
But still doing KB, numbers.
Yeah, but KB is too, and I mean this like respectfully, KB is too Christian to, I think, jump into the mainstream side.
Agreed.
That could kind of catch fire that way. So I don't know. I just think it's tough though when you're someone who's an outsider for what's going on. To have an opinion that's completely informed on what you're talking about. A lot of people throw things out thinking that they know, but you really don't know. Like Chris D'Urso is probably more informed about Christian hip hop than most pastors, but at the same time, he's not in the space. So he doesn't know everything that's going on, and that's not his fault. But when you go and you make those broad like opinions or statements, that's why people get mad.
I agree. I think you know, when I read the first tweet, I was like, or the first post, I was like, this dude wears boneless Tims. That's just what I thought.
Really, dude?
That's what I thought.
Really? That's what you thought of first?
He wears boneless Tims. For real, like, what do you mean? I could think of so many artists. That's why he had to come back and clarify, because I thought of so many.
But did he really clarify?
He kind of doubled down, though.
Yeah, I was like,
you're not hot. He was saying like, you're not hot, like you're not popping, you're not on fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not on my timeline, so you don't exist. That's pretty much.
Basically said, let me clarify by saying I said what I said.
Yeah, right. That's what he did. He just repeated what he said. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's exactly what he did. But I mean, again, I mean, hopefully, I just hope I seen a lot of artists in his comments though after that. So I'm hoping that he was able to like see who they are. And I saw Clifford Gray was on in his comments and was like, "Yo, you must not have heard my joint." And then I noticed he replied to Clifford and was like, "Yo, this is fire. We need stuff like that." You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just more so him understanding who's out there, man.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. B plus, shout out, you know, for being in the comments. He says, "I appreciate Pastor." So he's recently preached at my church, but I think he's off here and a bit out of touch. And then LNF says, "It's advice that doesn't take the current musical landscape in mind. Chris was attached to Social Club when they blew up, but the game is much different now."
Okay.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't even think Social Club fits the bill that Chris was saying.
Right.
But especially back then, when he was affiliated with them, like when they were first starting out, because their music, their music is much more elevated now. And I mean, they would 100% agree with that. Like, they were making more like fun songs, more youth groupy stuff back then. And it was nowhere like close to what Chris was describing. Maybe now it is, because their music is in a much better place. But so even that, like, it's like the people that you're, you know, co-signed or with, you know, they weren't even making the music that you're saying. So I don't know.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope that whether it be live or whether it be the interview, whatever, I hope he makes it and he clarifies what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta follow up for sure, but they were very responsive, him and his team. So I definitely see it happening for sure.
That'd be great.
That's so I'd love to see that.
For real.
All right. So the man of the hour, Justin, who is now is this your first book you've ever written?
Yes, my first book that is completely me. Yes.
Author extraordinaire.
Yes. Crazy. I can now say that I'm an author, a published author, which is I'm not gonna lie, it's a good feeling.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's a flex, man. Especially like for speaking engagements. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for those listening, Justin has a book called "Survival of the Artist: Tips and Strategies to Help Indies Succeed." So it's a very short book. It's not gonna take you maybe a day or two, or if that.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to read, and it was just a pleasure, and I'm very excited and happy that you came out with the book. I got it knowing that I believe you had tweeted about it, or I think I saw it on your profile, and I was like, oh, I definitely got to support, you know, Justin.
Thank you.
And the fact that you're already a great writer, I was like, okay, this just makes sense to get, right? I mean, I don't plan on, you know, having an album, but there's a lot of stuff here that even, you know, in the social media realm helps everybody, you know, whether you're an artist or not.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I think it's the way that it reads, it's almost like you're having a phone conversation with this dude, right? It's just like a regular conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the way that it reads is very casual, and that's what I like about it. But I think I think the book is good for any new entrepreneur, whether young or old. I think that you can find some gems in here that'll be helpful to you just with business etiquette. You know what I mean? I think that there's a lot of good tips here that can be applied in any industry, even for the podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, slide into people's DMs and like, hey, listen to my podcast. It's not the way, that's not marketing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or yo, listen to this. Watch this, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I love those emails. Yo, what's good, fam? And then they just drop a link. And I'm like, no. No. But yeah, I tried to keep it practical like that. And then I also tried to write it in a way that, you know, you could kind of like insert what you do here. So it's like, yeah, maybe in this specific one, I mentioned a rapper or an artist, but maybe you could change that to podcaster, or change that to, you know, I own my own storefront.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just apply it to how you do it. Just change the names. And every single thing in that book originated as a tweet, going back to like 2017. And at some point a couple of years ago, I downloaded all of my info from Twitter, and they sent me this huge file of like every tweet I ever sent. And I went through every single tweet and pulled out every artist tip and then put it onto a Google Doc. And then I went on the Google Doc and I expanded on every single one of those tweets. So I think it's as current as like 2020, I want to say. And I've probably dropped like 100 more tips since then. So I can have a part two someday.
I was just going to ask.
But yeah, this book took 4 years to write, mostly because of procrastination purposes and life getting in the way, where it would just be like I'd work on it for 2 or 3 days. Then I wouldn't touch it for 6 months or 7 months, and then I'd work on it. So I actually had the opportunity to speak at a Dove Awards event for Future Legacy that happened in Nashville back in October. And I found out about that in July, and I was like, yo, I need to finish this book so that I can go to Nashville and have books with me and say, hey, I'm a published author. Everything I'm talking about on this panel right now, you can find in my book. Mm-hmm. And I just messed up the timing that it took me to finish. So I didn't have any copies with me, but the book went live on Amazon the day that I did the panel.
You were like Lincoln Bio.
Yeah. So they were like, an author of Survival of the Artist as I'm walking to the stage. And then, you know, I talked and I was like, so anyway, in my book, which is live on Amazon right now. But it was
link in the description.
Cool. Yeah. And it was cool because, you know, artists came up to me and spoke to me after. And then like, I watched them buy the book on their phone, like right in front of me.
Wow.
That was really cool. Nice. So yeah. And I mean, just hearing you guys talk about it, like this is the first time that I think someone was actually like face to face telling me about the book that they read. Because no one that I've spoken to like in person had read the book yet. They were just over.
Gotcha.
So that was really cool. Thank you guys. Yeah. Just hearing you talk about it.
Yeah. I think also, you know, Justin did a great job in, you know, going like step by step of certain things that you can do. But he was also very real and very raw, like in your face, like.
He didn't
specifically say this, I'm saying it, but it's like wake up, stop being stupid, and do this way. Stop
That's the J translation.
Justin didn't say that.
Don't
but
be stupid.
That must have been. Don't be you must have got that when you got to the blank email, right? When he starts talking about the blank email, like no attention, there's nothing inside, bro. You had that in caps. I was like, what is this man about?
I'm sure everyone will read something in the book and be like, oh man, he's probably talking about me here, because it's really funny because. You know, pretty much everyone in CHH has sent me an email or like corresponded with me at some point. So like any of these artist tips can be about any of y'all that are in CHH. You just don't know. And at this point, I don't know anymore either, like who did what. But they're all based off of actual things that I've gotten emails about in 10 plus years of doing music journalism. So all the bad stuff I've seen, I take a note of it. And then this is an artist tip.
So this book is hip hop, y'all. Like Justin sending subs. You see that? He's sending subs. So it's like you wondering, also, like, is he talking about me? Yeah, he is.
Bro. In the book, you even mention you know, artist management.
Oh yeah, the why
they be sending some. Yeah. And then you have this part. This is on page 65, right? You said it's an artist tip. If you're not ready or willing to accept hard truths about your music, then don't ask a publication why you weren't posted. An artist, why they didn't want to work, or a crowd, why they weren't engaged. Regardless of how you feel, sometimes the feeling isn't mutual. I read that and I was like, "Oh,
I wrote that." That was rough, bro. Page 65. I don't know. I gotta source that.
Hey, look, I'm gonna write.
No, I got you. I got.
Sheesh. Yeah. So, I think
that might have been 2020, Justin, who was like mid-pandemic angry when I was writing that part.
Oh, okay. Letting out some frustrations. I think it's necessary, though, man.
Yeah,
I think it's
2023, necessary. Justin's a little more optimistic about life, but yeah, that sounds about right.
Yo, but you know what, though? Like, on one hand, you'll say that, but then I noticed, I don't know the exact page, but when you said proofread, right? You said when you're done proofread again. When you're done, have someone else proofread it too. You don't want typos on your actual songs, names, and informations, right? Information on the websites. But then you also said, like, if they don't have anybody else, you said, I'll do it. So I noticed that, right? Like, you, on one hand, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, yo, when you said, I'll do it. So you, you know, you can flip out, like, yo, don't put a link in the subject line, right? But at the same time,
yeah. The YouTube link
and in that service, like, yo, you know, if you don't have anybody, I can do it. So I thought that was pretty cool, though.
Right. Yeah, I mean the book is you know, I'm telling people what to do, but it's also kind of showcasing the things that I know. Nolly Williams, the Grape Tree, the founder of Grape Tree. I spoke to him a couple months ago, and he's got a bunch of books out, and he said, I don't make any money on my books. But like Jay said, you know, you get speaking engagements. So the book or consultations, and right. He said, your book is basically your business card that says, here, I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'm not making money off this book, but someone will see, oh, this person knows what he's talking about. I'll hire him for consultation. I'll hire him to come to my record label and speak to my artist. I'll hire him to, you know, edit my bio, you know, right. Whatever. So like, yo, you have nobody? My email's in the book. My social media is in the book. Hit me up. Let's see what happens. We can work. You know, I'm open. Like I said, I'm not making money off this book. So I need this book to translate, you know, to other opportunities and to other things.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I'm trying to help people. You know, this book is $8.99. You know, should it be more expensive, less expensive? I don't know. I just did the research and found out that $8.99 is the ideal price point for a book on Amazon. Mm-hmm. There's no rhyme or reason to it. But you know, it's a resource. It's there for people. I've even had someone who was going to hire me for a consultation, and I told him to buy my book, and now he's not going to hire me for the consultation because he bought my book. So I messed up there. Maybe I'll write about that in part two of this book. Like, don't give away your secrets until they pay you. But at the same time, dope. Like, now he could take this and he can empower himself. And you know, that's all I was trying to do. Back in the day, I was an artist, and I mentioned this in the book.
Yeah.
I failed a lot. If I knew everything I knew now when I was like 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, you know, drummer, being the front man of a band, trying to do different things that I was doing, you know, who knows where I'd be. But I had to fail over the course of all these years to then realize, like, why did I fail, and how could I help people not to fail? Mm-hmm. And that was the whole purpose of writing the book and starting the artist tips and doing my Survival of the Artist podcast, hearing from artists who are actually thriving and surviving. Mm-hmm. That's really important to me, because I wish I had somebody like that in my corner back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Let me ask you this, Justin. You this is your first book, right? Do you get like that bug to like write another one right away?
I have two 2, 3. I have like 3 other book ideas. And one of them was worked on a bit even before this one. Actually, maybe 4 book ideas. So I have a bunch of book ideas, and then I have a bunch of ideas that of things that I'm thinking of that, you know, down the line could become books. Yeah, but it's just finding the time, man. Like, this book is 104 pages only. Before it was formatted to that size, the book was actually only like 60 pages. So like on Word or pages typed out, it's only 60 pages. So I really thought I made a 60-page book. I was like, oh, this is a mad short book.
Yeah.
It's going to be super easy. And then once the formatting came, it like doubled. And I was like, oh, cool. This seems more legit. But really, this is only like 60 pages. And it took me like 4 years. So the other book ideas I have are like much longer. So, but I think getting this one out of the way has kind of like encouraged me to just be like, yo, just put your head down, get to the keyboard, and just hammer away at the keys and get these ideas out. And that's what I've tried to do with the whole latter part of this year, just working on a lot of different things that hopefully lead to better things and more opportunities.
I love that.
Nice. Can you talk a little bit about the process of why you chose Amazon to publish versus maybe going to a smaller publisher, or maybe even try to get the books made yourself?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the whole spirit of the indie artist thing, the survival of the artist, like just having the opportunity to do something literally like all on my own, and then show people like you can do all these things on your own. It's hard and it takes a lot of work. And frankly, like I have a lot of connections to different places, but I have no connections to the publishing world. I don't know anything about publishing. Like, that is an area I'm totally deficient in. I just know that Amazon, you can upload the book, you can do it yourself. It gave me some problems. It's not as like super easy as you would think, especially with the formatting and stuff. But I completely, for this one, wanted to go the whole indie route and just be like, yo, I'm in the trenches with all of you guys.
Right.
This is what I'm doing. I must have read the book like 6 or 7 times because I'm like, yo, and I'm sure there's some in there. I'm sure there's a typo or something that I missed in there, but I was like, I don't want to be the idiot who's telling people to proofread, but then right. I got typos all over right. my book. So the first copies that kind of went out to some of my friends or people who bought it, I'm like, yo, please, the second you find something in there, you got to let me know right. before this book goes out. But you know what? I think there's kind of beauty in that too. Like the imperfection that, you know, I did it all on my own. A lot of artists do everything on their own. It's mm-hmm. not going to be perfect, but you got it, you know, as close as you could. And that's kind of how I feel with this book. Maybe the right people will see it, and then, you know, I could get a foot in the door that way. But some of the other ideas definitely, I think, are going to take a publisher to get it done. But again, a publisher is like a record label, right?
Right. So,
yes, yes.
You're like, yo, awesome. I sold 50,000 books. And then they'll be like, here's your check for $100. Just like a record label.
Yeah.
So it's like either Amazon's going to take, you know, half the money or whatever percentage they take, or record, you know, the publishing's going to take like 80%. So either way, it goes back to the statement, I'm not making money off of books. This is my business card and my entry into other opportunities. And even this book, I, you know, uploading it, I had a problem with the cover. If you look at the cover on the side, it's like there's no title of the book.
Oh.
And my name is like super tiny. So for whatever reason, I uploaded the cover and it was like perfect. It let me put, it's called the spine of the book. And then let me put the title and let me put the title on the spine. Everything looked perfect. Then I noticed a typo. So I was like, okay, I got to re-upload the entire file of the book. When I re-uploaded the entire Word doc, it wasn't working. It just says like, it doesn't recognize it. So then I re-uploaded the book as a PDF. It accepted that. But then it told me that my book has no pages. I was like, what do you mean my book has no pages? It says 104 pages. It says you can't put those lettering on the spine, because, you know, if you have no pages in your book, there's no spine of your book. And for whatever reason, I could not fix it. It would not let me fix it. So I'm like, all right, let me submit the book to Amazon. And if the book will come back that it doesn't meet their specifications, so they'll fail it, and then they'll tell me what's wrong and how I can fix it. The problem was, I sent it in and they passed it and they approved it and then said it to release. And I'm like, yo, but like, I don't know how to fix this. And apparently they didn't care. So they dropped my book, and that's the way it looks. At least this first edition, I was able to like go in and kind of fix it a little bit. So I think if somebody orders it, and Jay, you said you ordered one recently, right?
This morning.
This morning. So you might actually get a book that says Survival of the Artist on the side. But again, the text is going to be super tiny. Like, it just would not let me fix it. So these are limited edition first
printing. I was about to say that. It's a collecting item. It's a collecting item.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool how Amazon, so for those that don't know, right, Amazon doesn't really print these. They have local print shops that go and they print these all over the country, or over the world, actually. But I always wondered where would my book come from specifically. But on the back it says, made in the U.S. in North Haven, Connecticut.
America.
So definitely U.S.
You just taught me something, because I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that at all.
You didn't know that.
I just assumed Amazon did it somewhere and they shipped it out.
No, they have different people,
robots
companies. That would explain though, because different. So one of my writers for Rabzilla ordered my book and they printed his book backwards.
What?
So like the last page was the first page, so you had to like read the book backwards. I'm like, yo, like, what?
It's Arabic.
They sent him a new book, but like, even looking among the copies of it that I have, some of the, you know, the print towards the end of the book isn't like as sharp or bold as the beginning,
right?
And then somebody sent me pictures. They're like, oh, this is one of the most crisp books like I've ever gotten. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I guess that's it. It depends where it's printed. So if your copy looks a little funky, it wasn't me, aside from the spine of the book. That is the only thing that I messed up on this book. Anything else inside, it wasn't me.
Yeah. I mean, listen, anybody who gets the book, you know, whether it doesn't have the title on the spine, I think what's inside is, you know, has a lot of value and can definitely help any artist, like we said in the beginning. So definitely check it out. Don't judge it by the cover. Definitely there's gold inside here, and you could check it out, link in the description for you to get the book. So
you mentioned that this was very hands-on and it was kind of like your own indie release, right? It's Amazon is your distro kid, right? Off camera, we were talking about video editing and stuff like that, and you mentioned video editing and graphic designing and stuff like that. Did you design the cover for this book yourself?
No, it was just the spine that had to add the letters, but So the Survival of the Artist podcast has like a blue like logo that has like the headphones and stuff. That was actually, I actually don't know who made that logo. The producer, Speckhouse, Lamont Blackshear.
Yeah.
He did an episode of a podcast with me and he goes, bro, you need a logo. I'm going to have my guy make you one. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he sent me one, and there was that blue logo that you could find on Survival of the Artist podcast. So when it came to making this book, I wanted to have something similar done. So I have my guy, Cutright, who's a rapper. He hosts the new show we have on Rapzilla called Making the Cut.
Shout out to Cutright.
Yeah, shout out to Cutright. And he dabbles in graphic design, different stuff like that. And I was like, yo, Cut, could you take this blue logo that I have and try to make something similar to this, but like in red.
Mm-hmm.
And he made that. So, he designed that. He designed that cover for me. So shout out to Cutright. And then the forward of the book was written by Ed Boyce, who was my first intern at Rapzilla.
Yeah, he mentioned that. He mentioned that in there.
So he interned for me when he was still in college, and I basically, I don't want to say that I taught him how to write, but like I taught him to almost be like a smaller version of me. I was like,
"Yo, he's your man."
Like I unloaded every artist tip, like journalism tip equivalent. Like I unloaded the gauntlet on him, and now he's killing it. He's the editor in chief of an actual whole newspaper.
What?
Where is he? Kansas. So he's in a small town in Kansas, and he's the editor of an entire newspaper.
Okay.
And I actually got to freelance for that newspaper. So then, like, he was my boss, and I submitted him articles. Wild. So I was like, yo, nobody has worked, you know, together like that, you know, on a writing level, you know, closer than you and I have. I would love for you to write the forward of my book. And he was like, yes, I'm in. So he wrote that forward for me. So Ed Boyce, Cutright, they put the finishing touches on this book for me. And all the people who dropped recommendations on the first couple pages.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of names I recognized, too.
Or it's like 3-4 pages.
Yeah. Yeah. That cosign is official, man.
Yeah. That was dope.
Word. So what's next for Justin?
Oh, man. I have a lot of like hopes of what's next. I just need these things to happen. So the dopest part was checking this book off this checklist that I've had for like 4 years, 3 years. I could finally get that off. I've been for the longest time been talking about documentaries that are in the process of being made that are still in the process of being made. So I don't have any updates there, but I definitely want to get like some documentary films off the ground that I'm working on. One is very CHH related. The story of Danny D-Boy Rodriguez, known as the first martyr of CHH. He was a Puerto Rican rapper, one of the first Latinos in the game. His sister, MC Gigi, the first woman signed to a label in CHH. I got very close with her after telling Danny's story. And we've been trying to make a documentary about her brother D-Boy for years. So we're finally starting to see some things come in place for that. My partner on that is director Will Thomas, who has done like every music video in CHH. Yeah. He's incredible. He's my creative partner. Yeah. Yes. He's my creative partner in a lot of things we're doing. We're trying to, you know, launch a YouTube channel. We've worked on some pitch decks for some shows. I have two screenplays that I'm in the process of writing. One of them is about 50 pages in. Another one's about 20 pages in. So hopefully finishing at least one of those by the end of the year and then finishing the other early next year so I can check those off my checklist. These other books that I have ideas for, would love to start them. But also, I got some stuff. I can't give it away yet. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I know I hate when people do this to me. But I will say, check on Rapzilla early December. We're going to be doing something really cool that is going to help, I'll say, at least one or two artists really get a head start in their career or for the new year. We're going to be starting something in December. And then come the new year, we're going to be also rolling something out that's in the same vein of survival of the artist, but on Rapzilla scale. So nice. I'll give you guys the scoop on that. December, January. Hopefully, we're going to help a lot of indie artists and stuff.
Let's go.
That's dope. Excited.
Word. So to piggyback off of that, we're going to help two artists or up and coming artists, and we're going to give away two copies of this book to whoever leaves a comment in the comment section for this video, and we'll send them the two books. So two artists will get these.
Okay. Can you sign it? Can you sign it on my behalf?
Wait, hold up. That's a federal crime, dog. You want him to forge your signature?
No, but I'm giving him permission, though. I'm giving him permission. It's all right.
Yeah, it's live anyway, so everybody hears it and sees it. So, yeah. I'll sign it. You know, I'll sign it for you. No problem. I'll sign your book. But yeah, so all you have to do is just leave a comment in the description, and we'll pick two artists, up and coming artists, doesn't matter, and we'll send you the book
randomly. You're gonna use the randomizer?
Yeah, randomly. We use a randomizer. No purchase necessary. All the other laws, whoever else is looking at this, IRS,
exclusive to Guam, FBI, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it must be 18 years or older. No purchase, all that stuff. Anyway, yeah.
And if you like it, leave a review, a positive review on Amazon. If you don't like it, just let the podcast know. Just don't leave me a review on Amazon. You can
leave a review on the podcast episode, right?
Leave a review on the podcast episode. Be like, yo, this guy was whack. But don't mess up my stars on Amazon, though.
For real, those are super important. You can send us a blank email of how much you didn't like the book or whatever.
Yeah.
And we already know that you didn't read the book. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We got a word of the day. Yeah. Blank email.
No, I don't got one, man. I wasn't able to find one.
What?
We owe you. Go ahead and pick something. What you got, Ant? You got something for us?
Oh, Ant got one. There you go.
Man, hold on a second, man. You guys just put me on the spot, yo.
In the meantime, Justin, where can people find you all that stuff?
Well, my name is super easy to spell. It's actually not too bad. It's exactly how it sounds. So Justin Sarachick, it's Sarah without the H and Chick without the second C. Just copy and paste my name off of this podcast, and you'll find me on every social media platform under my there. I promise you, there's literally only one Justin Sarachick in the world. So you copy and paste my name, and you'll find me everywhere, Twitter or X, Instagram, Threads, Facebook,
Twitter to me,
YouTube. Yes, yeah, it's never not going to be Twitter. Or you could catch my articles, you know, on Rapzilla. Those are important too. People who actually read make me happy. But yeah, just look up my name and you'll find me. I promise.
Yeah. Awesome.
And the book, just look up Survival of the Artist or look up my name on Amazon and you'll find the book.
Definitely. And we made it easy. The first link in the description is the book. So you could just click it and it'll take you straight to it. And another thing I wanted to mention in the book while Justin was talking earlier is he did mention that it took him 4 years to make the book. But there's a lot of stuff, even for 2023, that apply because he talked about AI.
Yeah.
Not AI the rapper, but AI, like artificial intelligence. And also Twitter/X and, you know, all that stuff. So that's very recent. So it's not like it's a, you know, very old book or outdated information.
That's true.
It's up to date for today. And again, I think you should definitely copy it. First link in the description.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll say something on that real quick. Yeah, that was part of one of the other reasons why it took me so long, because technology was changing so quickly that sometimes I would say not to do this thing. But now, like, that thing was okay. So, like, oh, now I got to rewrite this part. And one perfect example of that, and, you know, we could leave it at that, was people leaving producer tags in their beats.
Yeah.
Like, we'll use OB, for example, On Beat Music. You know, I used to get people that would submit a song, and, like, every 20 seconds you'd hear OB or On Beat Music, whatever, you keep hearing the producer tag and they're rapping or singing over the producer tag. It was like, yo, you didn't pay for this beat. Now it's cool to have the producer tag, like,
right?
The producer tag, but in the beginning of the song, not playing throughout the whole song. So I had to rewrite that part. And there was lots of parts that I kind of had to repeat myself. So I kind of like took a different angle each time I approached that subject. So to make it current. And of course, TikTok really wasn't a thing when I started writing this book. So I had to write about TikTok and AI and AI, like you said. So, yeah, it's current. It's current.
All right. Real quick, Justin, I don't know if I asked. He says new H2O coming back.
No. We bought it, and then the hope was to make that an indie, you know, indie CHH spot. Mm-hmm. But then it kind of, like, it didn't make sense. Like, why are we separating our brand that way? Yeah. Like, we could just have those people on Rapzilla. Why, like, have two different places? So then what we tried to do was make New H2O kind of like a tab on Rapzilla or another website, which was just like a voting website, a sort of like, what's it called? Like one of those ranker type websites, mm-hmm. where you rank albums and stuff. And we asked a couple of like different graphic designers and website designers if they could make it, and they weren't able to like make it the way we wanted. And then we wound up spending a bunch of money trying to, you know, fix up this website, and nobody quite got it to how we envisioned it. So then we were just like, all right, you know, it is what it is. So it's still there. I'm sure Chad Horton would love if someone wants to buy it, and we'll sell it to you gladly. It's got all the social media accounts, YouTube, emails, everything. We can't do anything with it, and we don't have enough manpower to even try to do something with that. But if you want to buy it, hit up Chad Horton.
There you go, Alan F. Get your money ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was one of our contributors on there too. That's probably why he's asking.
Ah, see, there we go.
So if you want to claim your territory back, ask Chad. Maybe he'll get it to you.
That'd be a story, right? I was a contributor, and now I own this site.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
You know what I
mean? right.
Nice. All right, we got the word of the day, Ant.
Yeah. All right. We got it. So it's Luke 15:7. I can guarantee that there will be more happiness in heaven over one person who turns to God and changes the way he thinks and acts than over 99 people who already have turned to God and have his approval.
Good stuff. Nice. Well, thank you everybody for watching, listening. Make sure you hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. If this is your first time watching or listening to these episodes, we really appreciate everybody in the comments. And again, if you want us to send two artists, Justin's new book, Survival of the Artist, Tips and Strategies to Help Indies Succeed, leave a comment in the description below of this video, and we will pick two people and send out the book towards you.
And if you don't win it, you can still buy it. It's affordable, and it's a good read.
Good read.
Two trips to
Starbucks. First link in the description. Yeah, exactly. And so we'll see you on the next one. Justin, hang around for 2 minutes, and we'll see you in the next episode. Peace.
Peace.